I was still feeling sort of dizzy or something, and I had a hell of a headache all of a sudden, I really did. But you could tell he was interested, so I told him a little bit about it. It's this course where each boy in class has to get up in class and make a speech, you know, spontaneous and all. And if the boy digresses at all, you're supposed to yell digression at him as fast as you can. It just about drove me crazy. I got an F in it. Why? Oh, I don't know. That digression business got on my nerves. I don't know. The trouble with me is, I like it when somebody digresses. It's more interesting and all. You don't care to have somebody stick to the point when he tells you something? Oh, sure, I like somebody to stick to the point and all. But I don't like them to stick too much to the point. I don't know. I guess I don't like it when somebody sticks to the point all the time. The boys that got the best marks in oral expression were the ones that stuck to the point all the time. I admit it. But there was this one boy, Richard Kinsella. He didn't stick to the point too much, and they were always yelling digression at him. It was terrible, because in the first place, he was a very nervous guy. I mean, he was a very nervous guy, and his lips were always shaking whenever it was his time to make a speech, and you could hardly hear him if he was sitting way in the back of the room. When his lips sort of quit shaking a little bit, though, I liked his speeches better than anybody else's. He practically flunked the course, though, too. He got a D+, because they kept yelling digression at him all the time. For instance, he made this speech about this farm his father bought in Vermont. They kept yelling digression at him the whole time he was making it, and this teacher, Mr. Vinson, gave him an F on it, because he hadn't told what kind of animals and vegetables and stuff grew on the farm and all. What he did was, Richard Kinsella, he'd start telling you all about that stuff, then all of a sudden he'd start telling you about this letter his mother got from his uncle and how his uncle got polio and all when he was 42 years old and how he wouldn't let anybody come to see him in the hospital because he didn't want anybody to see him with a brace on. It didn't have much to do with the farm, I admit it. But it was nice. It's nice when somebody tells you about their uncle, especially when they start out telling you about their father's farm and then all of a sudden get more interested in their uncle. I mean, it's dirty to keep yelling digression at him when he's all nice and excited. I don't know. It's hard to explain. I didn't feel too much like trying, either. For one thing, I had this terrific headache all of a sudden. I wish to God old Mrs. Antolini would come in with the coffee. That's something that annoys hell out of me. I mean, if somebody says the coffee's all ready and it isn't. Holden, one short, faintly stuffy, pedagogical question. Don't you think there's a time and place for everything? Don't you think if someone starts out to tell you about his father's farm, he should stick to his guns, then get around to telling you about his uncle's brace? Or, if his uncle's brace is such a provocative subject, shouldn't he have selected it in the first place as his subject, not the farm? I didn't feel much like thinking and answering and all. I had a headache, and I felt lousy. I even had sort of a stomach ache, if you want to know the truth. Yes, I don't know. I guess he should. I mean, I guess he should have picked his uncle as a subject instead of the farm, if that interested him most. But what I mean is, lots of time, you don't know what interests you most till you start talking about something that doesn't interest you most. I mean, you can't help it sometimes. What I think is, you're supposed to leave somebody alone if he's at least being interesting and he's getting all excited about something. I like it when somebody gets excited about something. It's nice. You just didn't know this teacher, Mr. Vinson. He could drive you crazy sometimes, him and the goddamn class. I mean, he'd keep telling you to unify and simplify all the time. Some things you just can't do that to. I mean, you can't hardly ever simplify and unify something just because somebody wants you to. You didn't know this guy, Mr. Vinson. I mean, he was very intelligent and all, but you could tell he didn't have too much brains. "Coffee, gentlemen, finally," Mrs. Antolini said. She came in carrying this tray with coffee and cakes and stuff on it. Holden, don't you even peek at me, I'm a mess. Hello, Mrs. Antolini, I said. I started to get up and all, but Mr. Antolini got hold of my jacket and pulled me back down. Old Mrs. Antolini's hair was full of those iron curler jobs, and she didn't have any lipstick or anything on. She didn't look too gorgeous. She looked pretty old and all. I'll leave this right here, just dive in, you two, she said. She put the tray down on the cigarette table, pushing all these glasses out of the way. How's your mother, Holden? She's fine, thanks. I haven't seen her too recently. But the last I... Darling, if Holden needs anything, everything's in the linen closet, the top shelf. I'm going to bed. I'm exhausted, Mrs. Antolini said. She looked it, too. Can you boys make up the couch by yourselves? We'll take care of everything. You run along to bed, Mr. Antolini said. He gave Mrs. Antolini a kiss, and she said goodbye to me and went in the bedroom. They were always kissing each other a lot in public. I had part of a cup of coffee and about half of some cake that was about as hard as a rock. All old Mr. Antolini had was another highball, though. He makes them very strong, too, you could tell. He may get to be an alcoholic if he doesn't watch his step. I had lunch with your dad a couple of weeks ago, he said all of a sudden. Did you know that? No, I didn't. You're aware, of course, that he's terribly concerned about you. I know it. I know he is, I said. Apparently, before he phoned me, he'd just had a long, rather harrowing letter from your latest headmaster to the effect that you were making absolutely no effort at all, cutting classes, coming unprepared to all your classes, in general, being an all-around... I didn't cut any classes. You weren't allowed to cut any. There were a couple of them I didn't attend once in a while, like that oral expression I told you about, but I didn't cut any. I didn't feel at all like discussing it. The coffee made my stomach feel a little better, but I still had this awful headache. Mr. Antolini lit another cigarette. He smoked like a fiend. Then he said, Frankly, I don't know what the hell to say to you, Holden. I know, I'm very hard to talk to, I realize that. I have a feeling that you're riding for some kind of a terrible, terrible fall. But I don't honestly know what kind. Are you listening to me?